Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anxiety in our country is at a record high. I initially dug into some data from the American Psychological Association to just try and find some hard facts to let it hit home. But then I realized you don't need the data. You know it. You see it all around you. One fun barometer is the algorithms of the most popular Bible app, YouVersion. Each year, right around this time of year, they declare the verse of the year, which is the verse that was shared, bookmarked, and highlighted the most over the course of the year. For the last 9 years that I could find, the verse of the year is one of the Bible's numerous verses encouraging the reader not to be afraid, not to fear, not to be anxious. But how are we doing? We Christians, in tune with our sinful human condition, with our hearts and minds corrupted by that inherited fall into sin, we know the truth. 100% of us suffer from anxiety. Every last one of us. Ever since Adam and Eve anxiously hid from God and tried to cover up their shame, the inclination to anxiety continues to pass through the generations. And we express our anxieties all in different ways. We eat too much, we eat too little, we don't sleep, we sleep too much, we obsess over minor things, or we discount major things. We lose focus, we overfocus, we overcaffeinate, we isolate ourselves, or we are out all the time and can never be alone in our own thoughts. We compulsively exercise, or we vegetate in front of the TV. We drink. We pop pills for better, to be sure, at times, or for worse at others. And today, we hear from Dr. Luke, the evangelist physician. When these things, we're quoting Jesus, when these things, the end times, begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What a word for our anxiety. And these things of the end times, what are they? Some of them we know well. Wars, rumors of wars, tumult, plagues, terrors. Others we have maybe some recent memories of, know they're maybe around the corner. Earthquakes, famines, persecution, even betrayal by parents and brothers and relatives and friends who would even put some of us Christians to death. Jesus prophesies all of this, and all have been far too common throughout church history since Jesus ascended. You will be hated for Jesus' name's sake. That's a promise. And as if all of that weren't enough to cause us an even greater anxiety, we have on the horizon signs in the heavens of the last days, that is, natural disasters, the roaring of the sea and the waves, the powers of the heavens shaken. And our economy doesn't help either. We see how quickly our savings can just fly away. The government isn't helping and might very well become even more hostile to the church soon. I found out this last week there's a present lawsuit against an LCMS high school where the prosecution is arguing that to even just be tax exempt means that the school is subject to federal regulation. Indeed, a cleverly timed movement from the revolutionary ideologues in our day could drive the church underground with just a few strokes of the pen. Creation, dear saints, is simply falling apart around us, just as God foretold. The fig tree is blooming. The end time signs are increasing. The kingdom of God is near. Watch yourselves. and look up. Watch yourselves. Watch against the easy thing to do when the going gets rough, that is, to do nothing, to give up. It's easy to give up, too easy, to think God is just distant from all of our troubles, to let our hearts shiver on the floor, to let our eyes glaze over, just frozen in fear, to have on our to-do list merely stare and feel overwhelmed, and even that not getting done. It's easy to lose hope, easy to take up the liquor bottle instead of the cross, easy to gain the whole world but lose our soul. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Dissipation, vanity, weighed down to the point that every good thing you might do comes off as just pointless. And despite of all of this, despite everything that should make us anxious in this world and life, despite every time we become weighed down with dissipation, the cares of this life, Jesus is still speaking in the midst of this to you, still encouraging you to straighten your back, to lower your shoulders, to lift your chin and look up at the cross of Christ. There you see your Savior dying for you. Look up again 3 days later. There you see your Savior risen for you. Look up again, even higher, 40 days later, you see your Savior ascended to go before you to prepare a place for you. 10 days thereafter, we look and we see the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, coming down as a gift for you in baptism as your lifelong Comforter through these anxious times. Look up again at the sacrament, where there you see your Savior coming to you, riding on the foal of bread and wine that is Christ's own body and blood, riding to refresh you with his salutary gifts. And when the final signs take place, and I mean the final signs, that is, when you hear the trumpets and begin to see all people coming out of their graves, then especially we shall look up and there see our Savior coming down in the same way that the apostles saw him go up, visibly. All will see him from every corner of the world, coming with healing in his wings, coming in glory to take you up, for you to meet him even in the air. Look up and receive then that day the final salvation, where there in the air you will look down and witness the final destruction of death and Satan, everything that causes us anxiety in this world. You will then look forward and see your inheritance, the new heavens, the new earth, where every vanity melts away before the new heavens. It's coming soon, Jesus says. And this end gives us hope in the now, gives us encouragement in the now, that we can trust Jesus through the woes of these end times, because we know he's coming. He knows how everything we go through will end, how he will work all things together toward good for you who love him. We know the end of the story. We can skip the chapters, get a sneak peek at that resolve, and it's not our destruction, maybe the world's destruction, but you will not be destroyed. You will inherit the new world creation with risen and glorified bodies, incorruptible, immortal, imperishable, everlasting. And until that day, hold firm. It might be a silly illustration, so take it or leave it, but now in these days, as we know Christ is the one who's bringing us forward, so we cling to Christ now like the rougher side of Velcro sticks to the soft side. That is, you were made to be attached to that side given just for you. Christ is your perfect match that you then cling to him like that most stubborn Velcro. But God knows how distracted and forgetful we are. He knows how prone we are to separate ourselves from his word, to chase after the more exciting or the more pleasurable. He knows that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. How much we find ourselves that weakened piece of Velcro that just won't stick to what it needs to, but just to everything else that it can. No, you need a place to go, and that place is where you were meant to be, to Christ. We were created to be loved by the God, so we fool ourselves to seek love from just any God, true or false. As God would have us consumed with him and his comfort and his peace and his wisdom, instead, so often we become consumed with our anxieties, how we can afford this or that, taking care of our family with this challenge or that weakness, how we can have enough for retirement, or what would we do if our retirement runs out before it was time. Our calendars are full, our days are full, we're busy. And yet our days are so often lacking in the one thing needful, the word, the kingdom, and even with it, prayer. Our hearts become heavy. We become an obnoxious piece of Velcro, sticking ourselves to then every false comfort we can. But don't be weighed down by such dissipation. Instead, hold fast to the gospel once for all delivered to you, the saints, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Hold fast to the word. Cling to Christ with every little hook of time you can, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? It says right there in Philippians, because he cares for you. He is powerful and almighty to save you from your cares and anxieties. Do not be anxious about anything, for he cares for you, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hear and listen to the promises, the word of God, and pray that they would be given to you to give you comfort. Let your anxieties even inform your prayers, that you think, what am I anxious about today? Well, that's what I am given to pray for today, to cast them to the foot of the cross. Watch and pray no matter how much things seem to be falling apart around you. After all, prayer isn't for those who have things together. Prayer is for the desperate, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who yearn to depart and be with Christ, knowing it is far better, yet who remain in this world, because we know God is the one who says the end time. Pray to the God who is always faithful. He will provide everything you need. He is love incarnate. He can't cheat. He can't lie. Jesus gives life and life abundantly, new life. Not the cares and riches of this world, but the fruit of the Spirit. Who needs the health, wealth, and happiness that this world pretends to provide comfort, when instead you can ask the Maker of the heavens and the earth for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he's pleased to provide. He gives that life and that life abundantly to those who ask, to those who hear and keep hearing his word. Yes, dear saints, keep praying, keep clinging to the word, and even keep enduring your crosses. Take them up. And pray even for justice while we can have it, if we can have it. Pray for relief from our enemies. Indeed, the Lord delights to hear those prayers. He delights to give you everything you need. And then finally, at the end of your prayers, as you pray in Jesus' name, take heart in that name. Lift up your head and rejoice in that name. Your redemption draws near by that name. For he, Christ, who has died for your sins, who was raised for your justification, who ascended to intercede for you before the Father's throne, he's prepared the way for you to return to the Father. By the flesh of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, he's coming again for you to save you from everything, every anxiety. Cast your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you. In the name of Jesus.